Russia's President Vladimir Putin today criticized the European Union for demanding an increase in Russian energy prices as a condition for admission to the World Trade Organization. He called the demand potentially disastrous for the Russian economy. Russia's prices remain far below world levels. Putin made the remarks during a summit with Germany's Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder. David Remnick is editor of the New Yorker magazine and has written extensively about Russia. In this week's issue, Remnick writes about Putin's appeal and his strikingly different approach to governing from that of his predecessors.
In many ways, he's the anti-Yeltsin. He represents calm, stability, a kind of post-revolutionary period in which 10 years at least, which were filled with violence and cultural disruptions, all that has come to a relative end under Putin.
Not exactly Mr. Charisma.
Charisma got a little boring for the Russians. They got sick of it. Gorbachev was what Russians call a baltoon, a chatterbox. Yeltsin had this incredibly impulsive political character, and they grew tired of that, especially when things began to go wrong.
Putin has tried to balance the old order and the new, right?
All in the service of trying to create a force field of stability, allowing reforms that are on the books to become institutions. That's the idea, that what Russia needs above all is a little bit of quiet. But at the same time, in order to create this stability, we've seen enormous influence from people in the former KGB. Putin, of course, is example number one. He had a full career as a kind of mid-level intelligence officer in Germany. A lot of people from the KGB are now popping up in ministries of all kinds.
So he's felt he's had to mollify some of those from the Soviet times. He brought back the Soviet anthem.
He did. That's a strategy that shows the real difference with Yeltsin. Yeltsin's historical mission was to destroy the communist system, everything about it, including its symbols, so that it would never come back. Putin comes in and he realizes that a lot of people in Russia have a powerful sense of nostalgia for the greatness of the Soviet Union. And so what you're seeing now is not only the return of things like the old Soviet anthem with new lyrics, but a new popularity of old Soviet movies and songs. And it's not all ironic. A lot of it's sincere.
Here he is in charge of this big country, but his background is a spook. He's used to being in the background. He's used to disappearing.
Yes, and his personality is very much that way. He's a listener. He's a professional listener. But when he's asked this by Western reporters, all he has to do is turn around and say, well, you know, George Bush the Elder was the head of the CIA. Why shouldn't I be able to do that too?
But the current President Bush looked him in the eye and saw into his soul.
Everybody in the Russian government found that to be the most hilarious thing they ever heard. This happened when they first met. Bush gave a press conference and he said he had looked deep into the man's soul and he had gleaned a good and honest broker for Russia and a partner for the United States. And Russians who had known Putin for years were shocked to hear this because they'd known him for so long and could glean nothing at all.
My generation grew up terrified of this country, and now it's, what, just a blip?
No, Russia's hardly a blip. There's still things to be deeply concerned about. The danger with Russia since 1991 has always been the danger of deterioration, embodied by their grasp of or their hold over their own nuclear weapons, which they still have a tremendous number of. Their infrastructure is so degraded that it's very scary to think about how secure those weapons are. And certainly if you are in the business of terrorism now, the place where you look for weaponry to come out of is from the old Soviet Union.
And Moscow has become so boring that news organizations are closing their bureaus there.
Well, I think this is an enormous mistake. I mean, I understand a little bit about economy as an editor, but I think it's an amazing thing to think about what's happened in Russia. The framing events of the 20th century might have been the Russian Revolution in 1917 and the collapse of Soviet communism in 1991. And to think that it's not a big story, what's going on in its aftermath, is, to me, insane. But that's part of a larger problem that we have in the United States, which is a disinterest in what happens abroad unless it immediately and directly affects the United States. So you're seeing a lot of new interest in the Middle East, and for good reason, there should be, but a real dropping off of interest in Russia, which I think is a terrible mistake.
David Remnick, editor of The New Yorker. He's written a profile of President Putin, which appears in this week's issue.